All right, Ticket Texter says, I think what rubbed fans the wrong way was the TV footage of the two coaches being friendly with one another before the game, Tom in a car. Talking Fallout Michigan, Michigan State. We talked Jonathan Smith. Is it fair criticism that he didn't understand the rivalry enough? John and I say, no, that's ridiculous. They came out ready to play.
So they're supposed to put on an act that, well, I just don't like you because you coach for that team?
I wouldn't say we fought about it, but Valenti and I talked about it on the podcast. I said, what, do you want scowls? You want D'Antonio? You want...
The Mel Tucker mean pictures with his dog smoking a cigar before the game?
I think Jonathan Smith is who he is. He is not this like angry, yelling coach. That doesn't mean he doesn't care about the rivalry. Anyway, Sharon Moore, the other side of this coin. Okay, Michigan wins the game. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't save their season. They're still going to fight to make a bowl game. Does it restore any faith in Sharon? And the second part of that question is, what do you still need to see? Because I know Michigan fans aren't all the way bought in after that win. John, what do you think?
Well, I think they were pleased to see some progress from Davis Warren, and nobody's sitting there going, well, Davis Warren is the quarterback of the future. And I don't think anybody is sitting there saying Alex Orji is the quarterback of the future. But I think looking at the game plan, how both were utilized, and they didn't take Davis Warren out of his rhythm as a passing quarterback or operating the offense when they put Alex Orji in. They did it. I actually thought they were going to do it more. Listening to Sharon Moore before, you know, the week leading up to it, he said he was going to play a significant amount. I don't know if, you know, what six runs is a significant amount, but I thought that they did a nice job of developing the game plan. And it was the first time in the second half where I felt like there was a rhythm to the offense. Like they were actually doing things to set up plays that they wanted to run two, three, four down the road. I had never seen that from this Michigan offense to this point. Like there's been no structure.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt like maybe they finally found a rhythm offensively using the two quarterbacks. And I think you and I both agree, we don't like the two quarterback system, but if that's what you got to do to win a game, then do it. And I thought that they operated well. The question then is, did it restore any faith that Sharon Moore will get it right? It's not right this year. It's not going to get right this year. He's going to have to hit the transfer portal. He's going to have to own the transfer portal for O-line. I mean, for a lot of different parts of the team, because the talent that he does have this year, a lot of it will be in the draft and won't be back next year. So you're not going to have a Will Johnson, I would assume. Yeah. You're not going to have a Mason Graham or a Kenneth Grant or a Colston Loveland. Now, the tight end position is pretty stacked. Mm-hmm. Hogan Hansen is pretty good. They've got a lot of talent there. But you're going to have to find talent, you know, at almost every position in the transfer portal. Sharon Moore is a good recruiter coming out of high school. Do you believe he'll be a guy that will be good in the transfer portal? Because at no point in college football history are you able to change the trajectory of a program quicker than you can now.
Yeah, I thought it was encouraging that the quarterbacks seem to be set up for success. I mean, they are what they are, mm-hmm. right? When I saw it was Davis Warren, I go, oh boy. And I think you knew even before I did, but I'm going, oh boy. Yeah. And they had him with safe completions early. Now, he missed some stuff. He is still Davis Warren, but he didn't turn the ball over, which is a huge win for him.
Well,
and he had a couple nice throws when he needed to.
And the misses were more in the second half. He missed the first pass of the game, but then he completed 10 in a row. And it wasn't until like completion 6 or 7 where it was actually passed.
Yeah, I know. But it felt like they knew what they were working with. They were going to make the most of what they were working with. And I think it's incumbent on them this offseason to be working with more next season. Yeah. And there's an advantage. This is such a silver lining. Because they're bad, they're going to get to go at the front of the buffet line.
To the portal.
Yeah. They're going to go to the portal and they're going to say, I want some lobster. I want some steak. I'm going to come up for seconds and thirds, as opposed to last year when they could have done a better job, but the buffet line had already been picked through a little bit. It's going to have to be an aggressive offseason for them. It may mean coaching staff changes. I have not been overly impressed with Kurt Campbell. Wink Martindale, I don't know if he's a college coach long term, and certainly his defense has disappointed this season. Does Sharon make a tough call on one or both coordinators? Does he bring in a quarterback and a coordinator combo meal? We see more of that in college football. I'm not giving you anything specific, but I am curious to see how he reflects on this year afterwards and can try to make more wholesale changes. In the moment, They got to win the Northwestern game to get to a bowl game. I don't expect them to beat Oregon or Ohio State or even Indiana. How they look in those games,
yeah,
that will matter for perception. There's no moral victory, but perception for the program. You can't lose by 35 to Ohio State. You can't lose by 28 to Oregon this week.
So, yeah, here's what you need to see in the Oregon game. It needs to look better playing against Oregon than you looked against Texas. So that there is a way to show, okay, it feels like you are improving as a program. There is actual development. There's actual coaching going on. And nobody, you know, take the line aside. I don't even know what it is right now. No one is going to pick Michigan to win outright against Oregon coming to town. Okay, yeah, I'm probably not picking either.
Yeah.
But how do they look compared to how they looked against Texas when they play Ohio State at the end? And I know it's a rivalry and all that stuff, but how do they play in that game on the road in Columbus versus how they played at home against Texas and Oregon?
Some ticket text, 248-539-9797. This win restores zero of my faith in the Michigan coaching staff. Wink Martindale and Sharon Moore both need to be fired. Says, unfortunately, won't happen until the NCAA crap is over. Michigan will continue to be terrible for the next couple years, Drew in Woodhaven.
Well, if you don't believe he's going to do anything in the portal, that would be the assumption.
But we saw Ohio State hit the portal heavy to try to get back into the title picture.
Yeah.
I think Michigan will have to be unafraid and do, and I don't know, John, I don't know the financials. I don't know if they're going to throw $20 million. The point is it's going to have to be an aggressive offseason for Michigan because this is not acceptable. This is nowhere close to acceptable. 6-7 wins is 3-4 wins from acceptable.
Well, and here's the difference between Michigan hitting the portal and Ohio State. Ohio State hit the portal hard because, yeah, Alabama was seeing a coaching change. They picked up a number of different players from really good programs that were seeing a little bit of a turnover. But they were adding to a really good base of talent. Michigan is going to have a lot of wholesale change.
Ticket Texter says, Spartan here. Big fan of Jonathan Smith. I do think he understands the rivalry. We lost because of poor execution. However, I can't help but wonder if Cignetti would have been the better hire. I think both Michigan and Michigan State could ask that question. He's done such a remarkable job at Indiana of all places.
Yeah, I just, before I jump all over, I think Cignetti has done a really, really nice job in Bloomington. I need to see a full season and maybe even a second season because he did the same thing. He hit the transfer portal hard.
Brought a lot of his JMU guys.
Yeah. But I need to see him play against some, I want to see what he looks like against Ohio State. All right, play the big boys.
They're still off to their best start in like 50, 60 years.
Oh, yeah.
It's regardless.
It's crazy.
Yeah. If they only won like another game this season, it'd still be one of the greatest seasons in Indiana football history. And I think they're going to win a couple games, still get the 10 wins and be in that conversation to be a playoff team.
Does 10 wins get them in? It's a Big Ten team with only two losses.
I think they'll be favored in all but one game the rest of the way. That's 11-1. And I think they got a shot against Ohio State. As silly as that sounds, I do. I don't think very highly of this Buckeye team. And I do think highly of Indiana. They'll have a puncher's chance in that game.
I need to see it to believe. That's one I've got to see to believe.
Okay. Ticket texters, 248-539-9797 with some of their thoughts. This one says, Jonathan Smith literally said he now understands how big the rivalry is, which means he didn't fully know what to expect. Says, I'd still take Jonathan Smith over Coach Moore any day. Go green. Ticket texter says, Smith actually understood the rivalry too much. He knew he had to come in and run the football and win the battle of the line of scrimmage, and they did. The problem is they didn't do the other stuff. They didn't make enough plays in their passing game. They gave up too many plays in the passing game on play action. Yeah, it's an interesting read that he was too dialed in. People probably told him, if you win the rushing battle, you're winning the football game. And he's looking around going, what gives, guys? I won the rushing battle. You guys told me that's all I had to do.
With the way that they came out, though, and dominated the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, I find it very hard to believe that he didn't have his team ready. Now, you could say error in game plan. They didn't throw the ball enough against Michigan secondary, minus Will Johnson. Even if Will Johnson was there, they have really struggled against the pass. And I he's not the quarterback. The quarterback ultimately fumbled the ball one time. I thought Inchales played a good game, but he made a mistake in that moment. And he's also not the kicker. And No Kim is a good kicker.
7:35, we'll get into Lions. Dan Campbell with some foreshadowing and urgency question. We ask Campbell all the time about the level of urgency. We'll turn that around. We'll answer it ourselves. The level of urgency for Lions fans a week from the trade deadline. Twitch says Heather needs to ask easier questions for the two grand slam.
Yeah.
Oh, it's my fault.
Yeah, yeah. The actual quote was, somebody would win if Bridezilla didn't make the questions so hard.
Mm-hmm. So Heather, you got to give people a bunch of layups coming up next. You got the news and more. It's 97.1.
Hey, when it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants Bankers are attentive. They're going to take the time to get to know you and work with you to build a financial plan that fits your situation. It's exactly what they did with me. And as my situation changes, so does the plan. When you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well. They volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of a 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Before we get to the two grand slam, Heather, with the news.
So the World Series is breaking records in Japan. Pretty cool. For game two, an average of 15.9 million viewers tuned in to watch the Dodgers beat the Yankees, making it the most watched outing in MLB postseason history in the country.
The Shohei effect.
Oh, yeah. They said also the league also revealed that the first two games averaged almost 30 million viewers in the U.S. and in Japan. So people are watching. Shohei Ohtani, right? He got injured during game two, the shoulder injury, but he did play in game three. So I'm kind of excited to hear how many people were watching that you know, huge. Michigan football quarterback Jack Tuttle is retiring, 25 years old. The seventh-year quarterback took to social media on Monday night to announce that he played his final game after getting the fifth concussion of his career. He posted a really nice, long message. He thanked his teammates, his coaches, who have helped him along the way. He talked about how, you know, he really had to sit and talk to his doctors, to his family, and realize that, you know what, it's the right thing for his health to step away. But he did reassure his fans that he wouldn't be going far. He did say that he doesn't want to leave the game, right? Like, it's his passion. He'd like to pursue coaching in the future.
Yeah. When he first came over from Indiana, I had interviewed him for the In the Trenches podcast. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, why would you come to Michigan if you're just going to be the backup to JJ? And he talked about part of it was still learning the game of football. He wanted to get into coaching when he was done, knew that, you know, the playing career wasn't going to be that long. And I think he does have a great mind for the game. So it'll be fun to watch as his coaching career now begins.
Yeah, for sure. Gisele Bündchen and her jiu-jitsu instructor boyfriend are having a baby.
Wow.
Yeah, things are definitely official, even though they've never made things official or ever really confirmed their relationship. Things are definitely now official. She and Joaquim Valenti are expecting their first baby. They've been together, I guess, since June of 2023. This will be her third child, his first child. And it sounds
like... His name's Valenti?
It is.
Hmm. Wonder if there's a relation.
That's a good question.
I'd probably say no.
Probably not.
I'm sure there's just...
There's a lot of them out there.
A lot of them out there. But you never know. Could be like a distant relative. It sounds like she already told Tom Brady that this was happening.
Kids,
and the kids, before the news broke. So they're not finding out through social media, which would be
horrific.
Awful.
Yeah. Good for her.
Yeah. That's
44.
Yeah.
You hope for a healthy pregnancy, right? Because that's always...
you know what? It's funny, you know, yes, the older you are, the more risks there are involved. But she's in amazing shape.
Right.
She takes care of herself. And that when I had Emily, I was... 36 or 37, I can't even remember. And that's old, right? But my doctor had told me, he's like, I would rather have you at your age, you're healthy, you're in shape, you take care of yourself, than somebody much younger who does not. They're going to have way more issues probably going on than you are. So I think she's going to be
She'll
okay.
Be
but
fine.
But there is some some risks involved when you get to that age. Kid Rock and Eminem aren't letting their political differences affect their friendship. Did you see these posts?
No.
So Kid Rock posted this video saying, "I love Eminem. We've been friends for many years." And he goes on to say, "I don't agree with his politics, but I do give credit to him and people like Taylor Swift for standing up and not being afraid to be vocal for that which they believe. Thinking differently and having the freedom to do so is what makes this country great." Well, Eminem responded and he said, "Here's one thing Kid Rock and I do agree on. Go Lions. Appreciate you, Bob," is what is how he responded. So
cool.
Yeah, very cool to see that. And especially to see the Lions fandom between both of them.
It's pretty
cool. It sure does. Finally, it isn't even Halloween yet, but the Rockefeller Center in New York is ready for Christmas. So the tree has been selected. It will arrive on November 9th. This year, it's a Norway spruce. It comes from West Stockbridge, Massachusetts. It weighs in at about 11 tons and stands 74 feet tall. This thing is a beast and it's a beaut. It's so pretty. It's a really nice tree. It really is
a beaut.
It's
a hockeyism right there.
No, that's from the show.
Yes,
the movie. Yeah,
Christmas vacation.
Awesome. Yeah, it's a beaut, Clark.
It's been growing for about 70 years, which is incredible. So the lighting ceremony December 4th, and after the tree comes down mid-January, it's going to be processed into lumber and used for home construction by Habitat for Humanity. So
great,
pretty great.
Christmas right around the corner.
Yes, it is. It is here.
Not even done with Halloween yet. It's right around the corner. Let's get to the two Grand Slam.
Well, even though I didn't write these questions, I hope I can read them properly so that I make them a little easier, because everyone is blaming me, apparently, for making them too hard. So hopefully they'll be easy. The rules are easy. 60 seconds, 10 questions, $25 for each question answered correctly, $2,000 if they get them all right.
Mm-hmm.
Heather, it's not your fault. It's all going to come down to how well Jason in South Lyon does. Good morning, Jason.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Jason, are you ready to win some money?
I am ready.
All right, so you know the rules. If you don't know a question, pass. And if there's enough time, we're going to get back to it. Are you ready to play?
Ready to go.
All right, here you go. Your time's going to start as soon as I start reading the first question. What number does Aaron Judge wear for the Yankees?
4.
Who did the Pistons play last night?
Boston.
What is the capital of Pennsylvania?
Harrisburg.
The Arizona Coyotes became this NHL team beginning this season.
Utah.
She had the 2009 hit Party in the USA.
Miley Cyrus.
Who plays Venom in Venom, The Last Dance?
Pass.
What is 56 divided by 7?
8.
What team has the most World Series championships?
Yankees.
Jim Costa grew up in which city?
West Bloomfield.
Who started at quarterback for Michigan last week?
Warren.
Who plays Venom in Venom, The Last Dance?
Let's see. We got you with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Not bad.
All right.
There you go. Yeah, 6 is $150.
Not bad.
Yeah, I'll take it.
There you go. Nice job, Jason.
Thank you.
Put you on hold. Make sure we get you paid. Two Grand Slam brought to you by Femininio Law. Do I give off West Bloomfield vibes?
The main streets? I don't know. That's Gators?
I have no idea.
He talks about, the main streets of West Bloomfield or Bloomfield Hills.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it's a guess, it's a local guess.
It is a guess in Metro Detroit. Yes, yes, but you got to know.
But we're not really sure. I mean, the rumor is that you grew up here. We're not really sure.
I mean, it doesn't sound like
it. It doesn't sound like it, no.
Because of Bronners?
Well, I mean, there's just a lot of things about
Canada.
Michigan. I totally forgot about the whole Canada thing.
Yeah, I did too. Let's go through this. Two Grand Slam. Question number one. Aaron Judge does not wear the number 4 for the Yankees. He wears the number
99.
Yep. The Pistons. Yes, they're playing basketball. Who do they play last night?
Well, they are participating in games. They played the Miami Heat.
Now 0-4. Are you starting to think we're going to have one of those 10-game losing streaks we said they wouldn't have?
Right off the bat,
They had 2 wins at this point last year. Capital of Pennsylvania is?
Harrisburg.
Yeah, he got that right. The Coyotes are now in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
2009
with no mascot. That's why it's a Utah Hockey Club.
Oh, Utah Hockey Club. 09 hit Party in the USA, John.
Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, got that right. Venom in Venom, The Last Dance. I did not know this one.
I did not even know what this movie was.
Tom Hardy.
Is that Venom the Last Dance? Is that a Avengers movie?
Spider-Man.
Oh, it's a Spider-Man.
Well, it's in the universe of Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's about Venom's last season with the Chicago Bulls in 1998.
56 divided by 7. He paused, but he got it right.
Yeah,
eight.
He did math in his head.
That's good. Most World Series championships. Thought that was a free space. He got it right. Yankees. I grew up in Livonia, not West Bloomfield.
One could say that Jim Costa's parents messed around in Livonia and found out what happened.
Found out what happens. Yeah, here's Jim.
Thank you for that. Who was quarterback last week for Michigan? Davis Ward.
Davis Ward, you got that one.
I don't want to think about them messing around in Livonia. Thank you for that. I'm sure that's not the only place they've messed around.
John, you could have been somewhere else. You just happened to pop out in Livonia.
Thank you. I'm uncomfortable. Coming up next.
Thought of mom and dad.
All right. Dan Campbell, 802. Coming up next, Dan Campbell foreshadowing. He was at the podium and, he could hardly contain himself. Felt like Christmas Eve. Is a trade coming? It's 97.1. And this time of year, it's the fall, and it's important that you don't make the mistake that millions of Americans make. They let their dental benefits go to waste. Give Brightside Dental a call. Get in for an exam or a cleaning. Appointments available this month. You can get in November and December. They've got 8 Metro Detroit locations, and the Trenton location is opening next week. Give them a call, 1-800-PAINLESS, brightsidedental.com. And if you're subconscious about that smile, they can work with you. They've got orthodontics. That means braces or Invisalign. Great deals for new patients. That's Brightside Dental. No judgment, just care. You've heard it before. Fourth quarter does the Pistons in 0-4 to start the season. It's 97.1, Jim Costa with John Jansen, Heather Park. We've got Greg behind the glass, and we've got Dan Campbell coming up at 8:02. Moment yesterday from his press conference that everybody's reading into, and we are no different.
Yeah, I mean, he was jumping up and down, but here, best to hear it from him. Yeah, the more I hear it, I feel like I got trolled.
You don't think something's, quote, imminent?
Oh, I think something's imminent.
It could be.
I just don't know if, I mean, obviously it wasn't yesterday. I was kind of hoping for that last night, a little breaking news.
The question did ask 24 hours, so we're still in the 24-hour Christmas Eve window where he's jumping up and down.
24 hours?
Yeah. Could be today.
Maybe at 8:02. That would be nice, but I do think it's imminent.
Who's the name that gets you jumping up and down?
Oh, Trey Hendrickson. Of realistic expectations. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'd be jumping up and down for Myles Garrett, Max Crosby.
Prime Lawrence Taylor. I mean, it's not happening, but I'd love it.
Yes. They're not bringing him back. But I think Trey Hendrickson is the one that would most make you jump up and down. He is the most Aiden-like. He's not Aiden Hutchinson. But he's the most Aiden-like because of how, I mean, he's a four-down guy
mm-hmm.
that can get after the quarterback, that can defend the run. He's got a high motor. He does everything Aiden-like. And then the thought of what really gets you jumping up and down is when Aiden's back, having both of those guys on either side.
Hendrickson wanted a deal or to be traded before the season. His team lost again last weekend. I know since he doesn't want to give up, you've got the draft capital in Detroit to really force a tough decision in Cincinnati. Hendrickson played with DJ Reader last season on that D-line in Cincy. He had 17.5 sacks. And you're right. This isn't like he just is a one-dimensional edge player. He is an every-down guy. I would love it. I'd be jumping up and down if Brad Holmes came to me on Monday and he said, hey, Dan, I think we're going to get something done with Trey. Absolutely. I'd react the way Dan Campbell did. Yeah. That's who I hope it is.
I do as well. Now, there's a lot of different options, and we've talked about Hardy with the Tennessee Titans. Now, we didn't really hear much from him on Saturday. It's more Key.
Yeah.
But maybe that was just the matchup. I think there are some good options. There are ones where you could get excited, but I think in terms of fit for this defense, because as I mentioned last week, Hardy plays in that odd front, and he's a more of an outside linebacker, but he is an edge defender in that defense. I don't know that he fits ideally into Aaron Glenn's style.
We asked Campbell last week, really the last couple weeks, about replacing Aiden, and I think the word you used last week was level of urgency. We'll get an update, but John, what's your level of urgency as we get down to it? It's a week from today.
Well, I would...
Like 1 to 10. Let's put a number on it.
Oh, level of urgency? 9.5. It has to happen. And I don't think they've shied away from saying that, yeah, they need more production from the edge. And if they're not going to get it for what they have, they're going to have to go outside the family. And it would be the first time at the trade deadline that they haven't sent somebody somewhere else and actually brought someone in. That's where it's all brand new. It's brand new for Brad Holmes. It's brand new for Detroit Lions fans and the anticipation of what being an actual buyer of significant production might be.
I'm right there with you. It's not a 10 because, like, can they win without adding an edge? Yes, it's just going to be harder, especially against the better teams. Yeah, I think I was going to say 9. You one upped me per usual.
9.5.
Per usual, 9.5. That's fine. I'm right at the very tip.
Are you
top
ready to come
well.
Up the 14 wins?
Is there a 9.5 bus I can hop on? 248-539-9797. I see what you see. I see a football team that is great, that can be great, that needs to be given every chance to be the greatest version of themselves. And I do think that belief is shared by Campbell and Holmes. I don't think we were being trolled yesterday. He's been honest with us. He's been asked about guys. He's talked about we need a little more. Is something going to happen today?
Well,
I hope so.
So the urgency is for the trade deadline. There also should be some urgency that I would like to have whoever it is available to play against the Green Bay Packers. Now, that would have to be one where, hey, they're sitting at the airport this morning just waiting for everything to be finalized, and they're going to be here when practice starts on Wednesday to get up to speed to be able to be in
some kind of package, right?
Right.
To have some reps this week. You want a guy in probably by tomorrow at the... Right, because in terms of getting a full practice weekend.
Yeah. I say Hardy. It's Harold Landry.
Yeah, I know what you meant.
Yeah. No,
yeah,
I know.
I should have corrected you.
Yeah. No, that's okay. You can. Harold Landry. I just combined the first and last name.
You turned him into Greg Hardy or something.
Hardy.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, no, but to get a guy in this week, you'd probably want to get it today or tomorrow to truly get him that Thursday, those Friday practices, get the install. And I don't know that they'd be, you know, a 50-60 snap guy right out of thin air on a new team, but get him in for some amount of plays, get their feet under him. It's a big game against the Packers. That's the other reason to create a little more urgency, right?
Well, yeah, because you create a little bit more distance between yourself and division opponents. This is an opportunity to hold on to that number one seed. It's an opportunity to create distance in the NFC North, and we are the current kings of the North. We want to stay there. So every chance you get, and last year they played well in Lambeau Field. They got a win.
That was a fun game.
It was a fun game. And do they need someone to be a Super Bowl champion? I don't know that they have to, but I think it sure would help.
And it would feel, I've used this word, negligent, to not add somebody. Knowing what you've missed, knowing what Aiden meant, and knowing that you got a team that really only has one glaring need. Ticket Texter says Dan is 110% trolling you guys. Anybody thinks he's tipping his hand is stupid.
Well, he told us last week, yeah, that they would like to add somebody on the edge and that Brad has already brought him some ideas.
Yep. He wasn't shy about it.
Yeah. So it's maybe we bought in. As you know, we can be prone to do at times, but I think we all believe that something will happen. I hope it happens before and they're able to play against the Pack. If not, it simply has to happen by 4 o'clock next Tuesday.
Campbell's just clowning the beat writers. That's all this is, Jeff and Petoskey. Mike and Alpina says, hold on guys, Dan doesn't have a poker face. He always wears his heart on his sleeve. He's truthful. A trade is imminent. Mike and Alpina.
Well, we're getting it from all over the state.
I was going to say this. Nice flavor.
So I'm curious. Was it possible that Cincinnati, one, was waiting to see what they were going to do this weekend? Could they get a win? Another loss adds to the likelihood that maybe with a guy that asked to be traded before the season, maybe now they're saying, you know what, we're out.
His value will never be higher than right now.
Right. And so we can get maximum value for Hendrickson, and then on top of that, maybe they were waiting to see what happened in the division last night. Steelers take another step forward.
And they got to play the Steelers twice still to close out the season. Maybe they think that's a positive, but those two more games against playoff bound opponents. I think the three of the next four games are against teams with winning records.
Right.
So if you're Cincy, like, there has to be some level of, hey, we don't want to give up on the season, but if the Lions are willing to offer us, I don't know, two twos or a one or something like that, don't we have to? Don't we have to, as a team with a losing record, take the best offer we're going to get for a player we're going to lose?
Well, okay, and so Cincinnati, just take them for a second. They started off 0-3, and it's highly unlikely that any team that starts off 0-3 actually makes the playoffs. They ended up, you know, winning three of the next four, but then ultimately lost to the Eagles.
Now they're point loss.
Yeah, now they're sitting there at 3-5, and the defense has kind of been the bigger issue than the offense. Not kind of, has been the bigger issue. And that's along with Trey Hendrickson. Trey Hendrickson is still getting good pressure. So it goes to, do they believe that they're out, that they're done, that they're not going to make the playoffs, and they want to maximize their value of Trey Hendrickson and maybe flip that into, hey, yeah, we still know that we need to add to the defense, but we can do that with the draft capital that we get from the Lions.
You guys can weigh in. We got Dan Campbell at 802. You got the floor until then. Your level of urgency, 1 to 10. Your level of belief, reading into what Dan Campbell said yesterday, that something gets done today. It's 97.1.
Hey, the NBA is back in action, and FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, wants you to catch all of that action. Because right now, FanDuel is giving all users 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do to catch every single tip-off and buzzer beater is place a $5 bet on the NBA. That's any $5 bet, and you're going to be able to get everything that you want. And maybe it's the fact that you want to watch Wemby in San Antonio. Just want to watch him play, watch him develop in his second year. Maybe it's title contenders like the Knicks or Oklahoma City Thunder, or you just want to see if the Celtics can replete. Whatever the reason, if you're new to FanDuel, all you have to do is visit FanDuel.com/Jansen to get 3 months of NBA League Pass, courtesy of FanDuel. That's FanDuel.com/Jansen, to make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. You must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. After 3 month trial, the full price of League Pass will be automatically charged monthly. You can cancel anytime. No refunds, terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The question was, is something imminent with the pass rush? Could be. And he's jumping up and down. He looks giddy. Looks like it's Christmas Eve. And we asked the question, what player would cause you to jump up and down? Do you believe it? Or as some people suggest, he's just trolling us. Ticket Texter says, Dan Campbell can't hide or fake his emotions. It's happening, people. That's Luke in a truck. And John, the name that would get us most excited that's realistic is Trey Hendrickson. But it's not the only name, and people can send those in. 248-539-9797. Arden Key had a big game against the Lions last week, so people have brought him up. Granderson's the edge down in New Orleans.
Yeah.
There's some familiarity there. I do think they're making a move in the next week, and ideally you make it this week going into the Green Bay game. The urgency is there. This football team is every bit Super Bowl bound. Give them the best chance to do it, deliver it, and win it.
I would love to see them do it by Sunday. And in enough time to integrate whatever player it is into the system of Aaron Glenn. If that doesn't happen, it simply has to happen by 4 o'clock on Tuesday. Because yeah, while I would love to have him for the Green Bay game and see what it looks like and start to, you know, the process of moving forward, it ultimately needs to be there for, I mean, they're going to have 9 games in at that point, 7 games in. And for the remainder of the rest of the half of the season.
Dan is a big-time actor now with these commercials, but he's not that good. We will hear of a trade today, reads the ticket text. Today.
Today would be nice.
It'd be great.
802.
Perfect. Break it with us. The ticket texter says, my level of urgency is an 8 out of 10. The window is now for a Super Bowl. I think we trade for Hendrickson today at 1:47 p.m. Get on the 14-3 freight train, Jimmy, signed Tom in Flat Rock. Listen, they trade for Trey Hendrickson. I will be trying to catch the very last seat on that 14-3 bus before it leaves the station. Because I would love, he to me is such a Detroit Lions player. Uh-huh. The familiarity, the fit.
Seat's taken.
How'd I know that's how this bit was going to end, by the way? Oh, sorry there, bud. You're going to have to walk. Hitchhike your way.
The clock is ticking.
I'll hitchhike my way to New Orleans if I have to. Tom, by the way, in Flat Rock, he made a meme the other day. I just showed you.
And yeah, love
it. It's some people have seen the freight train running over a bus. It's John's 14-3 freight train running over my 12-5 bus. Get on board, baby. Uh-huh.
Splitting it in two. Let's go.
People have pointed out, hey, you don't know how long Ben Johnson's going to be here. More urgency to make sure that you win while you have this diabolical genius orchestrating your offense.
That is a curious question, is how long is Ben Johnson going to be here? How long is he going to continue to be able to put together this offense with Jared Goff? Both of these guys have been so good together. I mean, he's had a chance to leave the last couple of years. And with what coordinators are now making, I understand head coaches make more. They also bear the brunt of more responsibility, and chances of being fired go way up.
And you want to make sure you pick the right gig, which is clearly something he values.
Sure. But what is that right gig? Does he have one of 32 teams that he would be like, you know what, I would take this one over, and just waiting for it to come up?
And it's not necessarily prestige. Like, Dallas could open up this offseason. Do you want to walk into that mess right now? I mean, a lot goes into it.
Sure. But
and
like
he's clearly shown to be someone who is going to be a little more thorough than most guys. Hey, most guys get a job, they take it because you just don't know. He feels really confident that he's going to be doing this for a long time.
Yeah, he's got the luxury of patience and the luxury of knowing that even if you start slow, which the offense did, I mean, ish, in the first couple of weeks, that now you are the coordinator of the most prolific offense in the NFL this year.
Texter says Ben Johnson will be in Philly next year. Get it done now. Ticket Texter says, my level of urgency is a 12 out of 10. We've watched this team be so bad for so long. The Super Bowl is never even a possibility. This person says, I believe I'd be on every move possible to win a Super Bowl. The time is now to get it done.
So that's the difference between where fans are coming from and where Brad Holmes is coming from. Fans have been at this, some of them for 60, 70 years, hoping for a moment like this. Brad Holmes has been at this now going on 4 years.
Guys, I think the trade's already done. They just can't announce it yet. That's why Campbell was so giddy.
See, that's kind of what I think. But the hard part, and it doesn't matter how tight of a ship you run, and we believe Brad Holmes has things buttoned up as tight as it can possibly be. We never hear anything leaked out going into the draft. We never really hear anything leaked out going into free agency or into the regular season. It just kind of hits you. And I believe that's kind of what's going on now. I 100% trust that they are going to do something, that those conversations are going on. And Dan even said last week, yeah, he's brought a name.
He's done some homework on some guys.
Yeah. And so I think I think it's imminent.
Jacob in Shelby Township, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Good morning. So, I just wanted to say that the urgency for me is about a 9.5. I feel like he's already got a deal made, but, you know, I don't want to put all my bets on that. I do think, though, that I'm kind of, you know, turned off by the fact that I don't understand why we aren't so willing to give up our draft picks for next year to make a good ass or to make a really good trade. Because we've got depth all over the place. I mean, we might need a wide receiver. We might need another DB. But other than that, I mean, we're pretty well stacked.
And a lot of these guys are locked up on long-term deals. You feel like the bones and the foundation is set for years to come. It's not like these draft picks are going to be foundational at this point.
Right. Exactly. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. Hopefully we already got a deal in the works and you know, he can show up before Green Bay because that's going to be that ain't going to be like the Titans, man. That's going to be a legendary quarterback out there. So, you know, we got to be able to give that pass rush.
Winced. Good quarterback. I'm not sure legendary, whether it's Jordan Love or Malik Willis. I'm not sure I'd use the word legendary yet.
Yeah, I guess I agree with that. He's a good quarterback.
Yeah. Jacob, you're doing the thing that these broadcasts do when they've got a matchup. They're like really, really selling it. Oh, yeah. Today at Lambeau Field, we have the latest Packer legend, Jordan Love. And it's like, played well for about a year.
Yeah.
And we don't even know, by the way,
games with Malik Willis.
Right. We don't even know who's going to start quite yet because the groin injury with Jordan Love.
Right. Doesn't sound major. No. I kind of expect him to play.
I kind of think that
he will. But maybe at least it slows him down a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
Which works into the Lions' favor.
Yeah.
Malik Willis is fast.
He is. Just ask Doug Karsh about it. Is there any conflict for Doug if Malik starts?
There's got to be at least some internal strife. That was his guy coming out of Liberty. So, and now he may be facing the Lions.
The Lions have a big stretch coming up here because it's not just Green Bay. It's getting someone acclimated for Green Bay, but also Sunday night against Houston the very next week. And Nico Collins, I believe, is due back from the IR for that Sunday night matchup.
Yep.
And then we talked about the second half of the season. You're going to play a bunch of division opponents. You still have to play five division games the rest of the way, plus the Buffalo Bills.
And the Niners.
And the Niners.
Yeah, who, you know, by that time might be healthy.
And it's at their place, week 17.
Yeah, twice against the Bears.
Including an outdoor game.
Yep, and you still have the Pack again at home. You got the Niners on the road. You've got the Bills, the Vikings. It's a tough second half of the season.
That's why everything gets cranked up. Trade deadline 1 week from today. Dan Campbell joins us next. It's 97.1.